Matt Radio, good morning. George Gonzalez, the winner of the four-pack of tickets to Texans Field Day. He's going to get to do drills at NRG, tour the facility, and more. Something you cannot buy. You can only win by listening to Sports Radio 610. Next chance will be 6:45 tomorrow. We have our Texans and Patriots preseason suite tickets later this hour at 7:45. The Texans report training camp, and Bill O'Brien and the players will meet the media later today. Cody Stutes and John Lopez are flying to West Virginia today, and our training camp coverage is brought to you by Miller Lite. We have questions here, rapid fire in advance of training camp, which obviously gets going on the field tomorrow. Who is under the most pressure in training camp? You say...
I'm going to say Jalen Strong.
That's a fair one.
Look, Jalen Strong, he's entering year three. We've seen at various positions with the Texans over the last several years, guys emerge in year three. Derek Newton's obviously not a wide receiver, but figured it out, picked it up. Kareem Jackson. Was Kareem a year three or year four guy where he blossomed?
He got much more respectable in year two. I think year three is when he started.
Year three is where you all of a sudden realize, okay, this guy might be a legitimate player.
Yes.
So I think he needs to take that step forward. And particularly when you look at what he brings to the table in terms of diversity of wide receivers. Will Fuller is a different type of guy than Jalen Strong, obviously. Jalen Strong has that prototypical size that you want out of that guy, whereas Will Fuller is a burner. There are a lot of snaps out there for Jalen Strong. There's a lot of production, whether he's starting or not, but he's got to take a step forward this year.
I don't know if I have the sexiest names, but I've got a few that stand out for guys under the most pressure.
Now, Xavier, the next question, by the way, will be who has the actual sexiest name? just based on nothing else, just the sexiness of the name.
Xavier Suafilo, fighting for his career, for a contract, for a starting job left guard.
That's the sexiest name.
Is it?
Yes.
Actually, you know what?
It is.
That's fair.
If you didn't know Xavier Suafilo, no offense to Xavier, but he's an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
But if you didn't know that, that sounds like a guy that might be on the cover of a romance novel, Xavier Suafilo.
Xavier's a good name.
Okay.
Xavier Suafilo, Christian Covington,
mm-hmm.
Alfred Blue, and the one guy who is fighting for the starting spot that we do not talk about, Brennan Scarlett. Because John Simon left to go to Indianapolis because he's a traitor.
I don't know if there's a lot of pressure on him because he's a guy who was an undrafted free agent last year, and I think he's got a really good shot of making the team. Now, him actually being able to start, that's going to be tough for him. Like, I think a lot of people are really bullish on him based on some production that doesn't necessarily translate to being a down-in, down-out starter. I'll say this, though. I think you nailed it with Christian Covington. Because
that's not a guarantee.
Covington's done some good things. He's made a lot of progress. But they drafted Carlos Watkins this year, who's another interior defensive lineman. I'm not going to say 3-4 or 4-3. He's an interior defensive lineman who can also play 3-4 defensive end. You've got Reeder. You've got Carlos Watkins. You still have Joel Heath there. There's a whole lot of competition for big, beefy, 300-plus pound defensive linemen right now.
Another one I'll add real quick, Andre Hall, who was very up and down last season as one of the starting safeties.
Yeah.
Who is the most likely player to break out or emerge as a significant contributor for this team?
I will say Braxton Miller.
Okay.
I think Braxton Miller, just by health first, experience second, addition of Wes Welker third, and then also, crucially, perhaps Bill O'Brien being the actual offensive coordinator is going to make a difference. That's one of the things. Look. This is not New England's offense, but they certainly would love to do some things the same way as they do it in New England. Last year when Bill O'Brien got more involved, what did we see? Oh, the tight ends got involved as well. I think with Bill O'Brien in year two of taking the reins, Braxton Miller is really going to emerge and be more. Look, I don't know if he's going to be Wes Welker. Probability would tell you he wouldn't be, but I think he's going to be a lot better than he was last year.
I'm going to say a couple of guys offensively, because I think that's the easiest way to go when you're thinking about players to emerge and contribute. Tyler Irvin, who seems like he had a good offseason, seems like he played with more confidence. And C.J. Fedorowicz, on the basis of he got better last season, he got playable. I base that mainly on what we saw in the first half against Tennessee, where Bill O'Brien was calling the plays, and he likes his quarterbacks throwing to tight ends.
Yep.
If he can be developed more as a red zone threat. Robert Nelson defensively is a guy who Vandy has hyped up as well.
The cool thing about Fedorowicz is that his blocking improved when he got more involved. He's like a big man in basketball.
Yeah.
You get him some touches, and all of a sudden he starts doing all the other stuff well, too. Fedorowicz, with the turn of a switch, turned into a better blocker last year when he started getting the ball thrown to him more.
Who is most likely to be a disappointment? I'll answer this one first. I'm going to go based on higher draft picks.
Are you going to give us one name? Instead, you've been doing this by committee a little bit. You've been punting a little bit.
I've been punting.
This is one person, Mike. There can only be one.
Deontay Foreman. Okay. Shaky starts of the offseason, the arrest, and showing up at not the ideal weight for him during the spring workouts.
I don't want to say this, but I have to. And I base this on nothing other than the probability, I should say the improbability of finding a good quarterback in the draft. Most likely, strictly, by the difference between your hopes and the actual odds, the biggest chance of being a disappointment is going to be Deshaun Watson, simply because most quarterbacks drafted don't turn into really good NFL quarterbacks. So that's why I would say, because the other answer I'd give is Zach Cunningham. I'm nervous about some of the things that Zach Cunningham didn't do in college. Not being a good tackler makes me nervous because it's a little bit harder to tackle guys in the NFL than it is in college. And I think it's very coachable. Some of the things he did was just simply, it's a matter of just breaking down properly and taking the right angles and everything. But sometimes guys don't do that because they just don't have the natural football playing ability. He has all the measurable skills. He has the speed. He has the athleticism. He will have the size because he's still adding weight. He's still maturing. But he's got to do that very simple and basic thing of tackling and making plays. So he's the one that I'm most nervous about really meeting his full potential.
This is an interesting question we have here. What is the bigger number, J.J. Watt sacks or Tom Savage starts? So this depends on your thought process on a bunch of different things. How healthy Watt's going to stay, how effective he's going to be, how long Savage is going to be in there. I'll let you take this one first.
I'm going to say J.J. Watt, and I'll base this on nothing other than the three games he played last year where he got 1.5 sacks and did it in a hobbled fashion. Like, it was very clear over those first three games that he just wasn't himself, and he was still getting pressure on the passer. It didn't look good, but just with technique and guile, he got some sacks. So I'd be surprised this year, even if he has a down year, if he doesn't have 10 sacks.
I'm going to go with the Watts sacks. Not by a ton of confidence, as you can hear my voice, but I think with Savage starts, I think you're looking at around 8, 9, 10. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be easy to get over that sack total, but I think Watt can if he can stay healthy. I do think they face some teams where even though they're good, I think there'll be opportunities with the opposing offensive lines. And so I will go with Watt sacks barely. I should do a poll about this. I think I will do a poll about this, and I will let you know the results of what people say.
Can you include an Astro in it so people don't get angry?
I can. It might screw up the
every
methodology.
Time you do a poll and don't include an Astro, people get very upset.
Who could be the most surprising?
That is a strictly Texans question. Okay. Why didn't you include an Astro? Altuve's having an MVP season.
Who could be the most surprising cut on the team? Only 53 spots, and I think you have a good name.
Oh, I don't know if it's a good name or not. I don't know if it's one that people care about. But Steven Anderson, who would be the F-type tight end.
Yes, the beret-wearing tight end.
What was the memory device we used to remember that? Oh, because it's like a fighter jet, right?
Well, you said that with the tight end, it's like the first guy is like a...
the first guy's like a brick mason.
A brick mason.
The traditional inline tight end that can block and everything, but it can also get involved in the pass game.
Yes.
The second guy is like a luxury sports sedan.
Mm-hmm.
So Ryan Griffin, ideally, would be a guy that's maybe more receiver than
this
blocker.
Makes sense.
And then your F tight end is the guy that's like basically a chunky wide receiver. Like, and he just gets out and flies around all over the place. What was his job?
He was the
fashionista.
Yes,
he was like the Euro man.
He was wearing the beret. He's got skinny jeans.
Yeah, yeah.
Steven Anderson probably wears skinny jeans, if I had to guess.
I think everybody wears skinny jeans.
Yeah, nowadays
below
they do.
25, don't
they?
They
do.
Yeah.
All right, here are my names.
I even feel it sometimes. Like, I look at my big old wide cuffs. I can't do the skinny jeans, but I'm like, man, look at me. I'm lame.
My surprising cut would be Jeff Allen. That would be my surprising cut. It wouldn't save them a lot of money, but that would be if they like Greg Mantz or somebody at guard.
Yeah.
Sufilo steps up.
I would be surprised if they cut Jeff Allen just because
depth.
There's no... Right. Even if he's a backup, you know you can trust him as a guy that's like going to figure everything out and absorb a game plan. One of the hardest things to evaluate during training camp and project on into the regular season is how a guy's going to adjust from week to week to a new game plan. Because you just don't see it. You don't game plan much for your preseason opponents. But there's some guys that are simply better game players than they are practice players because they're better at scouting the opponent and figuring out that week's game plan. So you know what you have with Jeff Allen there. And even if he loses the starting job, you know he can do that.
Real quick, what are other surprising cuts? And you guys can weigh in as well. 713-572-4610. Like Cushing would be a surprise.
Yeah.
Andre Hal would be a surprise. I'm just trying to look at guys who, like, you're not going to cut somebody where you're going to have to add to the cap space in order to cut them.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for guys where if you cut them, you're going to save some money, and they're guys who are expected to contribute this year.
Okay.
Because the nature of the question is surprise. So it's kind of difficult to find what a surprise cut would be. So 713-572-4610. We're also going to do NFL buy or sell on late July storylines next, Mad Radio.